New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. We at New Dimensions thank you for your support.
I'm Justine Willis-Toms. Welcome to the New Dimensions Cafe. Today, I'm hosting Christy Nelson, author of Wake Up Grateful, The Transformative Practice of Taking Nothing for Granted. I'm speaking with Christy at her home by remote connection. Welcome, Christy, to the New Dimensions Cafe.
I love being in the cafe. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I love being in the cafe with you. You know, being a survivor of stage 4 cancer has changed your life. In fact, even being alive has led you to truly orient yourself towards gratefulness, not just as an idea or a task to perform, like waking up and list the 3 things I'm grateful for as my task for the day. You counsel us that it's an orientation for life. So help us to know how you came to this powerful orientation.
What strikes me first to say is that it means it's how we are wired. It's like our operating system, that gratefulness is with us in every moment. And I like to call it a moment-to-moment practice, because it's not something you just go sit on the cushion and cultivate. It's not something you just do in your journal at the end of the day, like a gratitude practice. Gratefulness is... what I like to say is it's greeting the gratefulness of life with gratefulness of heart. Mm-hmm. The gratefulness of life is everything. It means everything that comes towards us and that befalls us, that we experience, the blessings, the burdens, all of it. Greeting it with gratefulness of heart, so we're fully present for it and we're able to learn. And that's the gift. And so I woke up to this reorientation to life, in a way, to realizing I could take nothing for granted when I had stage 4 cancer at 32. And I was hospitalized for a really long time. And I was very, very sick and ended up with metastasis to my bone and my spine and couldn't walk. And, you know, it was a very arduous journey, difficult. And I learned so much from that experience about how I wanted to live out the rest of my days, because the rest of my days were numbered. And yet, you know, when I say that, all of our days are numbered. Like, we don't know how many. It's the great mystery of life, is the dash, live the dash. You know, we have no idea. You know, we know when we come in, we have no idea when we're going to go out. And so I realized, okay, if I only have 3 years to live, I want to live a particular way. And then I realized how easy it was to let that slip, how easy it was to lose perspective, how easy it was to forget. And that in this society that we live in, especially, we are encouraged to want more, to buy more, to, you know, want to acquire more and think that we need more in order to be happy, in order to be grateful. I'll be grateful when my life is this way. And I want to encourage people to be grateful right now. Because you have enough to be grateful for in every single moment, that can be a way that you orient to this gift of life.
I'm thinking, as you're talking about grateful, it's easy to be grateful for the good that comes in our life and all the blessings in our life. But what about when our life is challenged? What about if we're living in Ukraine or Gaza right now in 2024?
Yeah.
And bombs are falling on our heads.
Oh, you've picked the most, you know, heart-wrenching example in the world of, you know, and I think there are, you know, there are so many people who live in conditions that people should not have to be living in. And it's really horrible and horrifying. And yet, you know, Brother David says, you know, Brother David Steindl-Rast has really been a teacher to me. And he says, we can't be grateful for everything. We can't be. We're not going to be grateful for war. We're not going to be grateful for subjugation and oppression and violence. Absolutely not. That's not what's called for. But we can be grateful in every moment. And that's a distinction, so that we can recognize that we're still here. We can find the things, because there's something, that gratefulness of heart that we can bring to life. You know, I think about Eli Wiesel. I think about the people who have gone through these incredible wars. Ari Hanavar is somebody who writes now about the importance of art and joy and love making and sensuality and generosity in the midst of the most horrifying circumstances. And that still we can recognize what is worthy of our appreciation and bring our hearts to life, give our hearts the nourishment that they need. It doesn't mean that it makes everything around us right, but that we can hold both simultaneously is, I think, the thing that's so important. I think if I would want to say one thing, emotions aren't mutually exclusive. These experiences and ways of orienting to life aren't mutually exclusive. We hold sorrow and joy at the same time. We hold grief and gratitude at the same time. We hold outrage and appreciation at the same time. And they actually, I believe that they support one another in this way. It's more real. And we are catalyzed by the truth of all of those emotions, even if they seem at odds with each other. They actually live as such close kin to one another. And I think that's really important to recognize.
There's a phrase that I wrote down. I am not great, but I'm still grateful.
Yeah.
It's fearful. I'm hungry, or I don't have a roof over my head, or maybe it's not as extreme as that. You're not feeling well. You're having a health challenge. And somebody says, well, how are you? And you'll say, well, I'm not great, but I'm practicing gratefulness.
Well, and what's interesting is, you know, I heard Van Jones speak, you know, about what was happening during the civil rights, all the riots and things were happening. And what he talked about is that in the churches, they would go, and in community, they would say hallelujah anyway. It's an incredible hymn. It's a song that they would sing. It's like that we celebrate life in the face of what is most difficult. And I think there are ways that there's something so radical about holding on to the right. Like, you can't take this away from me. You can't take my heart, my love, and the kind of the adamant stance. There's something so powerful about it. And to be grateful anyway, to be grateful anyhow, there's a lot. This is such a big conversation, and I don't want to minimize it, because I think, you know, we don't want to say that everybody should just be grateful no matter what their circumstances are. That's not the truth. You're not grateful for the things that happen that are so hard. And there is something so important about the recognition that we can be grateful for things at the same time as being so done unto by life.
I'm somehow reminded of a piece of music that I sing in Joyful Noise Singers. There is a balm in Gilead. Mm. And it just is so poignant, that really speaks to this, that there is sorrow, there are challenges that we all go through, but there is a balm, B-A-L-M, that is available to us. And that's where we join with one another. We don't do this in isolation either.
Absolutely right.
I know that that's also dear to your heart, doing it in community and realizing that we're doing it in community, because we always are. But we may not always realize that.
That's so true. And I think it's where we get our strength and our courage, is to be in loving connection and to be so appreciative of the opportunities. And I think the thing is, the recognition that I'm alive now and I might not be any moment now, and I have no idea when that's going to be. How do I want to live into this moment that I'm alive? That's the question. How do I want to live this moment? And it might be the last day that I'm here. And so to really embrace the fact of our impermanence is it helps direct our the way that we live our life, and it directs our attention and our tending. It's an engaged way of being with life, to be grateful, to live gratefully. It's not just self-satisfying. I love to say it's not a pacifier. It's an activator. That when you live gratefully, it activates you. I think that's hugely important.
I think what you're saying, too, is that it connects to our aliveness, and then that taps into joy and curiosity, yes, and connections and all sorts of other things come out of that, I believe.
I totally agree. And I think that's such a beautiful question, which is, how alive are you in the moments that you're alive? Because aliveness has agency to it. The fact that we're alive is what is. But there's something about the aliveness that we can generate, that we can cultivate, that we can also demand of the world. Like, everyone has this right for to come to life, to be alive, that life is a gift. It is something so powerful as a way to live. And it also puts our hearts on the line in a way. For me, it brings me alive. It makes me more passionate. It makes me more passionate for social justice. It doesn't pacify. It's so important, that aliveness and how what we're grateful for and being in touch with how exquisite life is, that there's a way that that can make us so much more effective in the world and the lives that we live.
I know that when we act in some way that supports that aliveness, yes, and we may say to ourselves, oh, well, this doesn't really matter. You know, whatever little act I'm doing is not going to make a difference. And I loved it that you mentioned a story in your book that Michael and I have used many times in the workshops that we gave on True Work. And it was a starfish story.
Oh, I'm so glad you like that.
I'm so glad you mentioned that story, because when we want to make a contribution, I think this really illustrates very, very poignantly,
yes,
how our contribution does make a difference. And if you could briefly here tell in a few moments that story and what that means to you.
It's about the boy who's throwing the starfish into the water, and the beach is littered with starfish. And this older man comes up and says, what are you throwing them in for? Look at how many there are. And how can it matter? And the boy throws one in and says, it matters to that one. And so whatever you can do, I think there is something that, how are we motivated toward life, toward defending life, toward preserving life, toward justice, toward right? It's like there is such a passion that arises for me out of that sense of life is worth being grateful for, and peace is so important, and love is so important. And how do we cultivate our energies and our aliveness such that we are in service of those things that we care about so deeply and don't lose touch with those things? So easy to lose touch.
Exactly. Oh, I want to thank you so much, Christy, for being with us on the New Dimensions Cafe. I've been speaking with Christy Nelson, author of Wake Up Grateful, The Transformative Practice of Taking Nothing for Granted. And to find out more about her work, go to christynelson.net. And she spells her first name K-R-I-S-T-I, christynelson.net. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org, where you'll find over 1,800 programs in its archive. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I want to thank you for joining us at the New Dimensions Cafe. I invite you, please do join us again.
You've been listening to the New Dimensions Cafe. This series of shorter interviews features many of the remarkable guests also featured on our internationally syndicated one-hour New Dimensions radio series. To access more than 1,000 hours of programs, to subscribe to our newsletters, or to become a member, please visit us at newdimensions.org. New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the Donate button. We at New Dimensions thank you for your support